It's Sunday night. Feel that vibe. Kate Garcia's here. Come on, let's ride. 5 years of magic every single week. Emma and Stephen, they know how to speak. Bright pink hair, shining energy so hot. With every guest star, they reach for the sky. Kate Garcia, we're raising a toast to the laughter and love we cherish the most. From the stage to our hearts, we're never apart. 5 years of Kate Garcia, a true work of art. From Zoom to Live, they faced every storm. Sunday at 8, always keeping it warm. Launch new biz, turn pages of books. International stars, yeah, just take a look. Kate Garcia, we're raising a toast to the laughter and love we cherish the most. From the stage to our hearts, we're never apart. 5 years of Kate Garcia, a true work of art. Their friendship's a treasure, 25 years strong. Each interview a story, each moment a song. So here's to the future, let the good times roll. Kick us forever, together we control the soul. Kick us, we're raising a toast to the laughter. Kate Garcia, a true work of art. Yeah, 5 years of Kate Garcia, a true work of art. Yeah, 5 years of Kate Garcia, a true work of art.
Emma, we're back in the studio together.
I know.
Just carrying on our five-year theme this year.
I know, but it's now 5 years and 8 months.
I know.
So that song's outdated. Time AI write us a new song.
The Kick Arts were 5 years and 8 months song doesn't kind of have the same jingle to it.
Doesn't quite. And it's really weird because I'm sitting in a totally different seat to what I've been sitting in for the last 3 months.
But I feel like I'm just back at home.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Yeah. I didn't think she'd give up the seat tonight. She's tired. It's been a massive week.
It's been crazy.
Great to be back though, and thank you for keeping the fort ticking while I was away. You've had some great guests over the last few months.
I know. It's been crazy good.
Really good. And there's some gaps coming up in October. So if you want to come on the show, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We spent most of the year actually turning a lot of people away, but we've suddenly got a few weeks gap. So get in, let us know. You've been down in Queenstown the last week.
Yeah. So last Sunday we had talked to Meg, a choreographer who was across from Brisbane, and we went down on Sunday to start the pilot down there on Monday. Not pilot, show in a week. Wake up, Emma.
So it's coming up. The pilot's coming up.
Yeah,
we'll talk
it
about
is.
It.
So we did Sister Act Junior, the New Zealand premiere of that, with 43 amazing little stars down there. It's always weird though, because you know it was a kind of. Is it typical? Maybe it's typical. Yeah, it's typical. We had 5 boys and 38 amazing little girls.
Right.
So,
but Sister Act at least.
Yeah,
lots of nuns.
So it worked with Sister Act. And seeing them all in their little nuns' habits, and a big shout out to Susie Diamond and her team of sewers, who mums, that came in and made us 40 brand new, beautiful. And they were sparkly because they changed for the finale. There was a sparkly scapular on it. So, yeah, it was so cool.
Brilliant. Well, we're actually going to kick tonight's show off. We've got a whole night of theatre tonight. We are catching up with the team from Playhouse Theatre's Hunchback of Notre Dame. We're chatting to the team from Constellations. But first up, we're going to actually talk to you and to Toma Perrin. Welcome, Toma, because you're both continuing the journey of Show in a Week, but here in Auckland.
We are, but I meant to say too, this weekend is actually Musical Theatre New Zealand's big theatre open weekend, which of course finishes tonight. So it's appropriate that we're talking about theatre that we, because, you know, we had our first day today. So hopefully all around the country, people did open their doors to their communities to help make musical theatre more visible.
So, yeah. If you did something, send us a message. We'd love to know about it.
Yeah.
Welcome, Toma. Great to have you back in the studio.
Thank you. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And so, Emma, kick it off first for people that don't understand. What is Show in a Week? Is it like a school holiday program type scenario?
Well, kind of. So basically, the kids register to be in a show, and they turn up on the first day, and we have a workshop morning. We don't call it auditions, but they are, where we cast whatever show it is. So the kids know what show they're doing, and yep, hopefully they've done a bit of homework and listened to the songs and have a bit of an idea about it. And then we have a week of intensive 9 till 4:30 days. And on the Friday, we do all the typical things. We add tech, we shift into the theatre, we add the lights, and we add microphones and costumes. And then they perform for, they're doing four shows Friday and Saturday.
It's like theatre on speed, really.
It is.
You still have to do everything. Obviously, there's limitations in there. You decide what things you can't physically fit in. Being junior scripts, putting two together, is that sort of an hour and 20 each?
Yeah, so I would say that Newsies usually comes in about 70 minutes, so it's about an hour and 10. The Big One O comes in pretty spot on for an hour.
Great.
Yeah, so people will come along, they'll watch the Big One O Junior, then there'll be a 20-minute intermission where they can stock up at the tuck shop, lots of sweets and sweet treats, and then they get to watch Newsies. So you're getting to see two shows.
Yeah, that's really cool, and two very different ones. Tommy, you're directing the Big One O. I hadn't heard about that show until this year. Tell us, what's the storyline behind that one?
Yeah, so the Big One O is a great one for the younger audience and the younger performers, actually. As the name suggests, it's about the number 10 and someone's 10th birthday. It follows the story of Charlie, who's moved to a new town, doesn't have many friends here, and is trying to figure out what to do for his big 10th birthday, the Big One O, and navigating new friendships, new situations, trying to decide on a party theme, all accompanied by his wonderful imaginary friends, which are a bunch of monsters from his favourite comic books.
That's cool. That's cool. And is this your first time trying to direct a show in a week, or have you done similar sort of projects?
The first time in a week. The record for me so far is 2 weeks.
Okay.
So now we're cutting that in half.
Although you've recently done the 48-hour film festival.
Yes, which is a whole other type of
But that's the same thing, isn't it? Like that's putting something and squashing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
A beast into a very tight competition.
Yes, the results of that have been out recently, and it's amazing to see what people made in such a short time frame.
Yeah.
The thing is, too, with the show in a week, like, we're rehearsing from 9 to 4:30 for 5 days, basically. So we're doing 40 hours of rehearsal.
Yeah, yeah.
So for a lot of schools and studios who do it for a 10-week term,
yep,
and they rehearse twice a week for 2 hours, they're doing 40 hours as well.
Yeah.
But I think the kids, it means that the kids are focused solely, and we talked about this last week with Meg, because they have the week, and this is what they're doing for the week. They actually learn a lot faster because there's no interruptions. There's no, oh, I've got a school function next week, I'm not coming to rehearsal. There's no, I'm going away to see grandma. It's just a week where this is it, and it's so intensive that you actually do manage to get a lot more in.
Oh, and they have no time to forget anything, because if they're forgetting things from the day before, you've got no hope.
Tell us about Newsies, if people don't know that one.
So Newsies was a film that came out like years and years and years ago, and basically the film was based on the Newsies strike in America when they tried to, you know, the politics put up the prices of papers, and the news boys were going to have to pay more to sell the same amount and get the same amount. And it was made into a musical, and it's absolutely fantastic. And so it's been quite a Broadway and West End hit. And then the one-hour show is absolutely fantastic, and it's a great one for the older kids and a great one. I mean, the older kids performers is what I mean. And the dancing is going to be phenomenal. We've got a great choreographer.
I'll ask about your team in a second, but I'm curious, did you have to start today's rehearsal and talk about what a paper boy is or was?
Because
isn't it funny? Isn't it funny, though, those things now that, you know, I mean, I used to remember mum or dad going, paper boy's beans, and then that was cue to go down to the letterbox and bring in the newspaper.
Yeah. Well, the fact that we, you and I, Stephen, today even talked about the fact that we needed newspapers.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, well,
where do we get them now?
Where do we get them? Because a lot of people don't even get the Herald delivered now, because it's cheaper just to watch it online. Watch it, read it.
Yeah. All right, tell us about your team. So Emma, who's supporting you? You're directing, who's your MD and choreographer?
So we've got Hugo Austin Murray, who is MDing for us, and he is a performer in his own right and a musician and a sound engineer, actually. And he was in a few weeks ago because he is one of the co-founding people of Rising Stars, who did the ABCs of musicals that we interviewed a few weeks back. And so I've got him as my musical director. And then in the dancing hot seat, we've got Maxwell Hutton. And whilst this is not his first time choreographing at all, it is his first time doing a junior show, and his first time doing a show in a week. And I think, again, for them too, it's working out, this is what I'd like them to be dancing, but realistically, what can the kids learn in a week if we can't drill it over and over and over again?
Yeah.
But yeah, so Maxwell's been around a lot, especially Centre Stage, North Shore. He directed directed or choreographed Diary of a Wimpy Kid for North Shore earlier in the year. So yeah, no, it's really exciting to have him on board.
And it must be like, you know, a choreographer can usually come to the first couple of rehearsals, do the first number, get a sense of what the cast can and can't do, slowly work out the choreography. I guess he's got to head home tonight and be going, okay, now I've met these kids, this is what I can and can't get them to do tomorrow.
Yeah, I think too, it's that fine line between they may have struggled today. Day one is probably, there's two really hard days. Day one is hard because you're dealing with kids who are so overwhelmed because they have to learn a song. They've got to sing by them in a group. Then they've got to sing by themselves. Then they've got to learn a dance. And then they've got to do, you know, and it's like more, you know. And the other really hard day, I reckon, is when you go into the space, because of course we're not rehearsing in the theatre, and you've got to move everything and position it. And so for some kids, that's quite a...
And look, that day as a director, regardless of whether you've rehearsed for a week or 6 months, that first day in the theatre is the fear, the dreaded day. It's just, and everybody wants you, all the tech teams, everybody needs you on that day. All right, Tama, who's in your team?
So I'm directing for the Big 10 Junior, and then on our music department as our musical director, we've got Skylar Shanahan Trainer, who's been on the show a couple times, most recently for The Lightning Thief with me. We've worked together on a few musical shows, as well as being a very experienced musician and vocalist. Skylar's studying at Unitech and is an accomplished actor in her own right. And then on the choreography side, we've got the wonderful Katie Dallow, who is kind enough to grace us with her presence and assistance from all the way over in Melbourne, is flying back just pretty much for this week to help us out with this. So that's been amazing to have her back.
Great chance for her to put her studies into practice and have some fun with kids again, because I think it's very adult when you're at uni, so that's good. What have you had to adjust in your own thinking or style, Tomo, to know that you can only do this in a week?
I think I usually base a lot of my direction on my cast. My direction style tends to be very workshoppy. We spend a lot of time on each scene working out what feels natural for the performers, what looks right compared to other people, and there's simply not time for that. So it's coming in very prepared, very ready for exactly what I'm wanting to do, and just being ready to work with the kids to get that in as short a time as possible.
Brilliant. Emma, this sort of format, you know, there's quite a place for this, I guess, for the busy kid or teenager too. You know, if they've got lots on during their school term, they're in sports groups, they're doing other things, or physically can't get to classes, committing to a one-week program is probably a really great way to have a theatrical experience.
Definitely. And I think for parents too, like, this means this is not 10 weeks of picking them up and dropping them off three times a week. This is 1 week, probably where they're going off to work, you know, drop them off in the morning. It is like a holiday program. And when you think it's not a holiday program that's babysitting, because they're actually learning so much and developing their performance skills, and coming out the other end with a public performance for, you know, four performances. So getting to actually perform as well, because a lot of holiday programs, you know, you go, you colour in for the day, you might do some crafts, you might go on a wee trip, but at the end of the day, you go home and that's the end of it.
Yeah, yeah. And performing in an actual theatre space, because you're doing this in at the home of Auckland Music Theatre and at West Point Performing Arts Centre.
We are, we are. It's quite nice to have somewhere central. A lot of our stage antic shows, for instance, are in Takapuna at the Pump House or at the Rose Centre. And for you, of course, you're up in Blockhouse Bay or at the Playhouse. So this group of kids that we've got, so we've got 90 kids there across the two shows, and they come from all over Auckland. You know, we've got kids from the shore, we've got kids from way out west, we've got south kids, east kids. So it's great because they're all getting to meet all these different kids that they didn't know beforehand.
That's cool. That's cool. And if you don't know West Point, it's part of MOTAT too. So it's an aircraft hangar converted to a theatre. It's a really cool theatre space as well.
And it's good because there are two spaces. They have their tech area, which is the same size as the theatre space, which is going to be really handy because we can have one of our shows on stage rehearsing and the other one next door rehearsing, and then we'll swap over.
So have you got the bribes ready for showtime to keep one group quiet in the tech space through an entire hour production going on in the other room? Colouring in time?
Well, I think we've planned it quite carefully to put our younger performers on first. So I'm hoping that the teenage group will be quite used to being quiet backstage during longer periods of time. And it's only an hour, right? It's only an hour.
Well, it could possibly go wrong.
And, you know, they'll be getting into their costumes and getting makeup on and different things. So they'll be getting ready. So, you know, but I don't know, maybe we need to look at putting a marquee up behind the theatre so that they have to be outside, rain or shine, and then come in once it's time.
Ooh.
Well, that's just for the noisy ones. The noisy ones go outside.
Yeah. There's a big aircraft hangar next door. Send them in there. We're going to play a song now. Toma, it's Monsters and Maniacs. So what's the Lincoln theme in this?
Well, Monsters and Maniacs is the opening number to our show, and it's where you first meet Charlie, and he introduces himself to the audience and his favourite comic books, which he believes are his only true friends at this time.
Nice. Let's take a listen.
They're only the greatest comic books in the history of the world. They're all about, well, doesn't the title say it all? If you're hungry for a story about a madman with an axe, here you go, Monsters and Maniacs. If you're hoping for survival when a zombie mob attacks, get to know Monsters and Maniacs. They got vampires and demons and goblins galore. They got psychos and serpents and whoa, so much more. They got woo, they got ah. You know what, why don't I just show you? Okay, check these out, my three favorites. Aha! Issue number 113. The king of the zombies is dead and living under my bed. Or how about issue number 85? On my planet, I would eat you for lunch. And issue number 136. It came from the swamp
and it left with my children.
You're probably wondering who these three are. Meet my monsters.
Hello.
I can see them, but nobody else can. That's Swampy.
Roar!
Sorry. This is the king of the zombies.
Brains! Brains! See? Brains!
And me, Alien.
Greetings, Earthlings.
A one, two, three.
You want boogeymen with big things eating babies, toast for snacks? Well, hello. Monsters and maniacs. Wanna hear a pirate screaming when his precious pet like grass? Go, oh, monsters and maniacs. Monsters and maniacs. Monsters and maniacs. Monsters and maniacs. Monsters and maniacs.
Hot.
I wonder what was hot.
Well, you'll have to come and watch to find out.
Exactly.
So with the two of you working together in a shared space and just an interval turnaround from the big one out to Newsies, how are you working out things like set and props? Do you just have a empty stage?
It pretty much is an empty stage, to be honest, yeah. And because, as well, the number of kids that we've got on stage, it's actually what you need. Because if you have more, if we had lots and lots of set pieces, we wouldn't be able to get 45 kids on stage.
True.
And so much of the world building can be done with costumes and little prop things. And the dialogue itself, the show explains itself as it goes.
I mean, you did a double bill I saw once before, Emma, and I'm trying to think, it was Finding Nemo and...
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. And, I mean, that just themed so well because you could keep it underwater, but you just made the odd little tweak at interval.
Yeah.
That worked well. So is that part of your discussions, is always trying to think, if I'm doing two, what will complement each other set-wise, or are you looking more at the age of the kids and making sure you're covering the likely group that are going to apply to be in it? How do you choose?
I think it's both. It's interesting because, like, Court Theatre, whilst it's not a double bill in the truth, in the sense that we're doing it with two kids' shows, they now do a kids' show every year, and it's always on in the school holidays at the same time that they're doing one of their adult musicals. And they adapt the show at lunchtime for their... So they did Frozen on the same set that they were doing. Oh, my goodness, I've forgotten what musical it was. Totally forgotten. But just by some simple changes, they were able to use the same set, which means, I suppose, like for us, we could do these shows separately, but then we would have to pay two theatre hires and two lots of tech and two lots of this and that and two lots of audience. So, I mean, it definitely works out better.
Yeah, and I guess for your tech team, it's no different to doing a 2.5-3 hour musical. It's just the storyline changes halfway. So I guess lighting and things, you can get a little bit creative because it changes, but it's still the same length of a show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Emma, you've been part of this music theatre world, which created the junior shows for so many years. What constitutes it being a junior or a youth edition or these other versions? Are there certain rules? Can anyone turn a script into a junior script? How does it all work?
Well, there's, I think there's lots of different variation there. So there are the kids shows, so Broadway kids. They're like 35 to 40 minute shows, and they're definitely suited for your, you know, more under 12s. The junior shows are 1 hour long, and they're great for up to 18. They were originally targeted though for schools to do on school grounds, you know, with under 14s, and it's a little bit cheaper if that's what you're doing on school grounds under 14. The rights are a little bit cheaper than doing it in a public venue. Right. There's also one-act editions, which, again, they're shortened shows, but they are better targeted to senior secondary. So, like, there's a high... Because, like, High School Musical is a really good example. There's a High School Musical Kids, which is a 40-minute version. There's a High School Musical Junior, which is a one-hour version. There's a High School Musical one-act edition, and it's got a couple of different songs to the junior, but you wouldn't actually know the difference if you didn't know.
Yeah.
And then the full version. So, I mean, I think that the junior versus kids is great. The kids is great for primary schools, you know. So I think it depends what you're doing.
And they come with a full sort of kit and directing kit and everything you need. So perfect for new directors, new theatre groups or schools.
Yeah. I mean...
How have you found it, Tomer?
Oh, absolutely. And receiving the kit for this one, I mean, I'm lucky to have some experience in theatre and directing and everything. But looking through it, it's a complete kit. It's got all the basics in terms of even the words, the glossary that's used in theatre. It's got the whole front of the script is perfect for first-time actors, explaining how the process works, who the different people involved are. It's got suggestions around costume, around props, around set.
Choreography DVDs.
Yes, absolutely.
If you want to, you know, so if you're not, say if you're a director but you're not a choreographer, there's some ideas for what you could use.
In terms of something that you can pick up and put on as a school, as someone that has never directed before, as someone who's on a time crunch like we are, I don't think there's anything quite as complete as these kits.
That's cool. Now, normally, you know, someone would do two back-to-back weeks like this, Emma, and then have a little bit of a break. But no, you're going on to the Junior Festival and doing more things in this space with pilot programs. So explain what the difference is of that.
So the pilot program is a workshop week where we bring kids in to trial, really, a brand new Broadway junior show. So it's they have the shows that we get have been adapted by the team either from iTheatrics in New York or from whoever MTI have employed to adapt it. And they've usually been piloted for the first time in the they have a summer program in America, which is six pilots over 6 weeks with different kids in each time. And it's to see whether it works. Mm. So they then send it to us to see whether it works for kids in New Zealand. And we they video it and we perform it and we get to make comments back and say, oh, this bit's a bit, you know, or this harmony didn't quite, or the kids really struggled with this musical idea, right. You know. And the process from writing to piloting to then launching can be anywhere, I mean, 8 years even.
Wow.
But it can be a lot quicker as well. So, like, Between the Lines, we piloted 2 years ago and it's available now.
Because I remember coming to your pilot a few years ago of Beetlejuice Jr., and that I've been excited to see that come out.
So that is available in America, but not in Australia. And it's not available here because, of course, they've got the Pro Tour in Australia, which may jump across the ditch. We don't know. So they don't launch things until that happens.
Those decisions are made.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the pilots are really cool because the kids are doing shows that they can't do in their own school. They can't do it in their studio. And I suppose that's the difference for the show in a week because there's nothing stopping a school doing what we're doing. So again, when we're making a choice, it's also looking around and going, what's everyone doing in the community? Because why would they come and spend a holiday with us and pay to be in a show with us when they can do it in their own backyard?
Mm. Is there, I'm going to ask both of you this question, is there a stage show that you've loved that you wish was available in a junior or youth format? A big long one that you'd love, I'd love a condensed version of The Addams Family, for example.
Good question.
Mm. Thomas?
Well, I would say Hades Town, but that is available in the States at the moment. I've seen a lot
it's
of discourse.
It's just come out here.
Oh, it's just come out here?
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see that.
I'm very excited too.
Someone's hoping to get that one, I see. Yeah, okay.
Someone has that one.
Okay, cool. All right. So that's great, Tomo. That dream's just been fulfilled for you.
Yes.
Quick, what are the winning lotto numbers, Emma?
The thing is, What I think juniors have done for me, in some ways I love them, but I'm going to say I curse them as well, because now when I go to the full version of the show with a lot of them, I'm kind of like, why is that song there? Why does that song still need to be there? Because the junior takes it out, but you still get the story. So there, you know, and it's there because you've got a lead who needs to have their number. It doesn't have to be in there for the story to be complete.
So it's almost interesting what they do to the show itself in terms of almost an editing process, cutting it back to the true essence of the show.
Yeah. And so much of it comes down to the composer, though, too. Like, I have heard different stories about cuts having been made and then when it's gone back to the original composer, them kind of like going, no, you can't cut that song. That's my favourite song. So then they have to kind of work it back in again.
And because Newsies, written by Alan Menken, and that's Hunchback of Notre Dame later as well, isn't it? Yeah, interesting. But was there a show that you're hoping to one day be
Juniorify? Well, no. I love the shows that are available. My bigger frustration is the fact that there's so many of them that we can't do in New Zealand. So, like, a lot of the Roald Dahls, we can't do James and the Giant Peach in Australasia, and that's a decision that's been made by the Roald Dahl estate. Doesn't want them being performed in
against New Zealand?
I don't know.
Was it our peaches? They've heard about Watties, canning the peaches here in New Zealand.
Must be.
Not doing it.
Yep.
Wow.
But, you know, so it's more that, like, why can't we do Mean Girls yet? Why can they do it in America?
Interesting. Okay. Tomer, you earlier this year directed The Lightning Thief. What's it like switching brains from something that's definitely adult and very out there to something now very child birthday party? Like, could that be more different?
Not really. It's a lot of fun. It's switching to a completely different audience, I think. And the fun of this one is that the audience is the same as the performers. So all I need to do is direct a show that they would want to watch. If they're having fun making it, the audience is going to love it, because the audience is either people their same age or their friends and family that are just happy to see them up on the stage. Whereas The Lightning Thief, I was creating something for the public, for fans of the book and the universe and the series and everything there, and kind of creating something that was very true to that idea of an existing story. While this one obviously has been done before in lots of different ways, I don't feel that kind of pressure to do it a certain way. I can do it in a way that's fun for us, for our performers, for our audience.
Nice.
Very cool. And actually, just an aside about the Big 1-0. So the Big 1-0 was actually written during COVID originally, and it was written to be a 40-minute online production. So the CEO of iTheatrics is one of the main writers. That's Timothy Allen McDonald, and he actually made a comment underneath our post the other day saying, "Good luck, guys,"
amazing.
Was really cool. But and the pilot of this 40-minute production was actually here in New Zealand, and it was done between Travel Gang and Junior Theatre Australia. And Hamish Mowat, who is Encore Theatre and part of GNT Productions, was the director online of that. So it was actually really interesting. All these kids rehearsed online from their houses, and then they performed online. So they worked out ways that people would suddenly pop up. Marty Johnson, actually, from iTheatrics, was the director of that. So, yeah, they'd pop up out the side of their screen, and then they would have learnt the choreography, and they would all be in their houses. So you were watching it, and you were watching, you know, 20, and then they tied it all together. So it was really cool. So, like I said, that was a 40-minute show, and then they turned it into the one-hour junior.
Mm. Awesome.
That's brilliant. Emma, we ask many weeks, I'll guess this question, I've never asked you. If there was a dream show you could direct, take away the junior now, any size cast, anything, what would it be?
Gosh, I don't know. I just love the, I don't know if I've got one show. I just love the opportunity to do a show and to maybe do it differently.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm kind of, for a while, I was quite known for taking Shakespeare's and putting them into a modern context and totally flipping them on their head. But when it comes to musicals, yeah, I don't know if I've got a favourite that I really love. I mean, there's a few out there that I've kind of gone, oh, that would be fun to do. I really enjoyed doing Sister Act Junior, and I think doing the full version, yeah, that would be really awesome because I love the music.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really open to directing anything as long as it brings me joy and that I can handle dealing with it for, if you're doing community-based, looking at, you know,
3 to 4 months.
3 to 4 months. So you've got to like it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what I love about the show in a week.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like it, it's over in a week. But I've never done a junior that I don't like. I've definitely had juniors that I've kind of gone, whoa, that was not a good one for a show in a week.
Well, and I guess the difference is, you know, because people are signing up and coming to it, you don't get to pick and choose. So also what might work for one group may not for another. And that's just the nature of the kids.
Well, you don't know who's going to be in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you do kind of spend the night before going, oh my goodness, is someone going to be able to sing that note? What's going to happen if they can't?
Brilliant. Thomas, musical, if you could pick anyone.
Well, my answer's kind of been stolen by Emma, because I've been recently looking at ideas for what could be my next sort of project, whenever that may be. And I love the idea of taking a show and putting it in a really different setting physically, staging it in a really different place. I saw a production last year, I want to say, of Into the Woods in the Woods, which I believe was talked about on
That's
here.
That's right, yeah.
And that was one of my favourite shows I've seen ever.
Really?
Because it was done so differently that it was so engaging. The audience felt a part of it. And even though I've seen that show multiple times, I've never seen it done as well as that, because it really took a completely different spin on it. So I want to do something like that.
And I think that's the thing is, do you want to do a cookie cutter musical? And as a director, it's something you need to think about. Like, a lot of the shows, if you did them differently, how, like, you might have a coup on your hands. Imagine doing, I don't know, imagine doing One Day More, I don't know, on a floating Titanic and not a barricade or in a forest instead of a barricade. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think there are some shows that you can't flip.
Yeah.
You know, you can't change the content.
The challenge is finding the one that you can flip enough that it rattles the audience, but not so much that they go, no.
And also that your rights are going to let you do.
Because
I know a few people that have tried to change context of things. Into the Woods actually was one of them. A local community theatre were going to do it in quite a different way. And the rights holders just said, no, you can't. You can't do that.
Mm.
So, and I think that's why I kind of tackled Shakespeare, because no one can tell me no, because Shakespeare's well gone.
I'm looking forward to Anne Juliet next year. That will be great.
Oh,
that'll
a musical.
That's a twist on Shakespeare.
And that is a great musical. Yep. It really is.
Yep.
It's good jukebox musical.
Well, I wish you both a fabulous week. Stay healthy and sane across a very busy few days. And where can people go to grab some tickets and come and support you on Friday and Saturday to come and see a double bill of The Big 10 and Newsies Junior?
Well, we'd like you to jump onto iticket.co.nz, our friendly theatre ticketing company. Friday and Saturday night shows are filling fast, so if you want to come to an evening show, get in quick. The matinees are still have seats available. What a great way to spend a Friday. So grandma, granddad, grab your children, come along, and we've got a family pass, which is 4 tickets, 2 adults, 2 children, or 1 adult, 3 children. So it's a really good way to spend 2 hours of your holidays.
Brilliant. All right, thanks, guys. We're going to end your interview with a song from Newsies. Very well known. Seize the day. Any theming behind this one, Emma?
Well, it's just that idea of, you know, I suppose it's a bit like carpe diem. That's not the right word, is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I was right. Just that idea of, you know, don't wait, do it now.
All right, I won't wait, I'll do it now. Here's Seize the Day.
The time to seize the day, stare down the odds and seize the day, minute by minute, that's how you win it, we will find the way, but let us seize the day. Courage cannot erase our fear. Courage is when we face our fear. Tell those with power, safe in their tower, we will not obey. Behold the brave battalion that stands side by side. Fight for you.
Now let them hear it loud and clear.
Now let them hear it loud and clear.
Seize the Day from Newsies and Newsies Junior. That's such a great song, Emma. Your team are going to have a ball with that one.
Yeah, it's such a cool show.
And now a completely different show to talk about, Constellations. And joined now by Lottie and Ben. Good evening, team.
Good
evening.
Great to have you on here. We've just been talking about staging a show in a week with 90 children. Now down to your neck of the woods for something a little bit different. Tell us about Constellations.
Sure. So Constellations is a 75-minute two-hander love story. So boy meets girl. And the thing that's different about the show is that it's set in the context of multiverses. So you see lots of different interactions with this couple. Some of them are very funny. Some of them are very sad. And so it's a really interesting play on multiverses and how things could have been different if things were just a little bit different, if you made some slightly different decisions.
And is this something you've created yourselves?
No, it's not. It's written by a guy called Nick Payne, who's a playwright based in the UK. It's first produced in 2012, I think.
And what made you decide that you wanted to do this one?
So I was lucky enough to see the play performed in 2018 in the United States in Houston. And it's just such an incredible script, and conceptually it's so interesting. And as an actor, it's a real challenge to move through these different time periods, backwards and forwards in time, with these kind of slight variations between different scenes, different energies. And it's just, it's a fascinating script and an amazing concept.
Brilliant. You've got us hooked. So, Lottie, what's your role in this journey?
So, I play Marianne, who is a physicist, and she explains the idea of multiverses and string theory, and that's what she does for her job. And then she meets this very earthy, down-to-earth beekeeper called Roland at a barbecue. And then the story begins with this idea of, will they get together? Won't they get together? What happens if they do? What happens if they don't? So it's been likened a little bit to something like Sliding Doors ideas of what happens if you make those decisions. And then the play then just explodes into 50 scenes where you get to see lots of them through lots of different places in their relationship. So when things are going well, when things are not going well, and how they both deal with those challenges.
Now, this isn't the first time you two have performed this as well, is it?
No. So we did the show in Wellington last year in September, and then we were given the opportunity to do it again in New Plymouth. And so a year later, we find ourselves in Taranaki. And we have packed into the theatre today, and tech run happening tomorrow, followed by Dress to open on Tuesday.
Oh, thanks for chatting to us tonight after a day like that. What made you want to do
it?
What made you want to do it again?
I don't know about you, Ben, but I just felt like I wasn't done with it. I think Marianne is a really complex, challenging character, and the play is a real challenge as well. As we've said, it's lots and lots of short, punchy scenes. We're on stage the entire time. There's no break. There's no interval. And it's a real challenge of a play to do, and I loved it so much, and we had the most generous, kind reviews from our season in Wellington. And I think we both just jumped at the opportunity to do it again, hey?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a play that really touches people. It really makes people think. And I've had so many people talk to me about the concepts in the play and how they've maybe had things happen in their own lives since they watched it, and how they thought about the play and these concepts that are introduced. And so it's been really touching having those people come to us and say, look, you know, this really meant something to us. And if you have something that's meaningful to people and it's engaging and engrossing and fun to perform, of course you'd want to do it again.
Mm. Tell us about your own journey in the arts. Lottie, you kick it off. When did it all start?
Yeah, so I just fell in love with drama at school, I think like so many performers. And then I went to drama school in London, and then discovered quite quickly that I couldn't pay my rent as a jobbing actor in London. And so became a drama teacher, but I've still just always had this love affair with theatre that I just can't shake off. And so I moved to New Zealand 14 years ago and then have just continued to do theatre in Wellington, whilst also being a drama teacher on the side and just balancing it.
Love it. I love it. Have your students come and seen this work?
One of them did. It's a fairly adult play, very mature theme. So I think one of my older students may have come and seen it. But yeah, it's definitely not for little people.
No, no. Okay. And Ben, take us back. When did your arts journey kick off?
So mine started with acting classes in community theatre when I was a kid, sort of, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And from there, I actually became a tech guy. So I ended up in the lighting box for about 15 years. And then found my way back onto the stage because they needed a warm body to fill a role. And a couple of people saw me perform and they thought, oh, you know, you've got a bit of aptitude here. And so I got offered a few more roles. And so over the last, you know, 10, 12 years, I've been in at least as many shows. Try to do one show a year if I can. And yeah, love the acting stuff, love the backstage stuff. Just all about it, really.
That's so cool. That's so cool. All right, give us all the details now. If people want to come along, support, buy tickets, where do they head?
So you can grab the tickets from the Fourth Wall Theatre website. And the season kicks off on Tuesday, the 30th of September. We've got six shows which end on Saturday night. So Saturday, the 4th of October, we're doing a matinee on Saturday as well. And the show is only 75 minutes long. There's no interval. Starts at 7:30 and you will be heading home by 9.
And love it. Fantastic. Well, we wish you every best wish for the season ahead. Thank you so much for coming and chatting to us after a busy tech day. Hope the season goes well. Go and get tickets, folks. Go and support it. Sounds like it's something a little bit different too.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Have a good Sunday night, team.
Bye.
Now, one of our wonderful regular music guests, Mohi, has unveiled their soul-stirring title track to their new album, The Flowers That Grow From Concrete Pavements. Emerging from the depths of reflection and resilience, Mohi announces the release of the long-awaited single, an emotional centrepiece and the title track of the latest album. The single has just dropped, with the whole album hoping to come out on the 1st of October. Let's take a listen while we get our next guests in the studio.
There was a time I thought I'd never make it. Life dealt me some cards that I couldn't play with. But if I had a wise word for the little man, I'd say you're gonna make it, your time is coming. Today I choose to love me, choose to love me. And I choose to love you, choose to love you. Matter to my people, you're my backbone. Shower you with goodness, all them blessings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all love, 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 love. It's all love, 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 love. It's all love. Yeah. I had to come off the concrete. I had to come back for round three. Sobering up was a big feat. All of the flowers go 10 feet. People I love, I lost plenty. Flowers that grew from the pavements. Still see
the dead when I'm dreaming. Still hear my cousin, I'm singing. I almost thought I was 22. Filled up my body with trouble soup. 2% chance of me breaking through. And I thank the stars for the spectacle. I had to grow for my godson. I'm still amazed at how he's grown. Modern day dreamer in the making. Life is a journey with many faces. Music can lock down and save me. Music a healer, it changed me. Music helped me find my family. Music got me going places.
The flowers that grow from concrete pavements, coming out 1st of October. Check it out.
Quite a cool song, too.
Yeah, very different vibe to Newsies and the Big 1-0.
Very different from a musical.
Having a conversation about constellations, and now to the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I actually haven't seen this show, Emma. I thought I'd seen most theatrical musicals, but this one I haven't, but I am booked. I'm coming. Have you caught this one?
I have not seen this, no.
I was going to go down
to Hamilton and see it when they did it at the earlier, was it earlier this year or the end of last year? Yeah, I was going to go down and see it, but it was just one of those things I didn't. But I love, there's music in there that I adore.
Emma's chosen the song we're going to play in a little while. But first of all, Emma, tell us, who do you have sitting beside you from the Fabulous Playhouse Theatre?
Well, we've got co-directors, and this is going to be, you know, we've talked to them before, and we always talk about how it works when you're a married couple and you're also directing
but
a show
together.
But they
come back, so I know. They're still married.
I know,
hopefully.
They're still married.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually, I could have really dug a huge hole, and the whole show's about to change.
Yeah, definitely.
Stop talking, see me. Go.
So we've got Charlotte and Jacob. Kia ora. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Lovely to have you back.
It's amazing to be back.
And are we right? Is this a show that isn't done all the time?
Yeah, so this will actually only be the second time that it's ever done in New Zealand. Like Emma said before, it was done in Hamilton last year, but we actually get to have the Auckland premiere for it.
Ah.
Did you go down to Hamilton and see it?
Unfortunately, didn't get to go watch it.
When was it released? Because I feel like it has been out a while, though.
2014 was when it was first workshopped, and then it got a little bit of a revamp, and it started out in Germany, and then it came to the US, so, yeah.
It's about that conversation we were having earlier about how long it can take for rights to get to New Zealand or get withheld.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So you brought two people in with you, though. Do you want to tell us who your casties are?
We have our fabulous Frollo, which is Sam, and we have our amazing alternate Quasimodo, which is Josh.
Welcome, Sam and Josh. Quasimodo. Now, that's something for the CV line, isn't it? What's it like playing Quasimodo?
I think for me, it's like this is an absolute dream. I told this story really early on when I was cast, but I had a copy of the Disney film of Hunchback on VHS in the kind of mid-90s, I think it was 96, 97, and I'd walk around the house singing the song so much that then my mum bought it for me on cassette to have on a Walkman. And so there are some of these songs, some of Quasi's songs in particular, that I have been rehearsing for 20 years. So it's really exciting to just get to explore such a beautiful part. Yeah.
And now for all our listeners listening that don't know what a Walkman is.
Yeah.
Let's educate our guests. That's cool. Is it different to the Disney film much, the stage show versus Disney?
So the stage show, yeah, so the Disney one is very Disney. It's got very much a happier vibe to it. This stage show version is actually based on the original Victor Hugo novel, but it uses the songs from the Disney film, and it creates a really, really beautifully haunting version of the show.
Has it got much dialogue, or is it mainly mainly music?
There is dialogue, yes. It uses the songs from the Disney film and adds a couple of new ones in there as well, but there is dialogue throughout.
So it's not like Les Mis.
No, yeah. It's not fully sung through, no.
But have you tried to create it completely different to what people have seen on Disney, or have you tried to sort of, I guess, honour a little bit of what people might know coming into the space?
We've definitely drawn inspiration from the Disney movie, because I hold that close to my heart. But there's a lot of things that are a lot darker in the show that we have really wanted to showcase and go to those dark places because we quite enjoy all the creepy, darker themes. So,
okay. Yeah. Didn't you do Sweeney Todd last time?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a theme here as well.
Slight theme, yeah.
Again, we'll be careful what marriage questions we ask him. Sam, tell us about your character.
Well, I play Archdeacon Cardinal Frollo. I call him the hero of the musical. That's my opinion, and only my opinion only. But I play the antagonist of this musical. What's great about it is that I did not watch the Walt Disney version of it. Have taken clips now from YouTube. However, with this character of mine, I will play it as best as I can, my version of this. And it is very dark. I've taken this character to a dark place, which has affected the entire cast, because every time I'm on, I get the feedback of, "You are scary. You are scary." So that must be working really well in my favor, especially when it comes to the bows. I am expecting boos, not cheers. So it's going to be a great season for Archdeacon Cardinal Frollo.
Does Quasimodo have much to do with the Archdeacon?
Very much so. He is, I guess he's like Frollo's ward. Frollo's taken him in, and he's the closest thing Quasimodo has ever known to a father. And it's a really interesting dynamic. It's something I love about the original novel. It's something I love about every adaptation, is that it's not this kind of cut clear good guy and bad guy. It's very morally grey and complex, and Frollo is, in his own weird kind of way, coming from a place of love, and Quasimodo is just incredibly naive, and he is a child who has lived in captivity for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it just takes everything that Frollo says as gospel. And I think that creates a really, really interesting, like, deep dive into a set of characters. It's a huge character study, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Brilliant. All right, back to Emma's original comment at the beginning. What's it like directing together? I'll ask you and then I'll ask the cast.
It's a very interesting dynamic, but it's also very fun, like, from a creative standpoint as well. Like, we each definitely have our own different ideas that we like to try and get across on stage, but, like, we still treat it like a very... It's very collaborative, and, yeah, it's just... It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I think we both have different strengths and weaknesses, and so we kind of make up for each other's strengths or weaknesses in that way as well. We can build each other up in what the other person is better at than, like, Jacob, for example, is really great at design and sets, whereas I wouldn't even know where to begin. So yeah, we can build each other up and create a pretty rounded experience, we hope.
So as Stephen said, let's ask the cast, who do you go to on what? Like, are there certain people that you're like, if I want it to go this way, I'm going to ask Charlotte. But, oh no, if I ask Charlotte that, it won't happen.
No, I don't think so. There's something that's been so smooth about this whole process is it's just, they're very clearly such a cohesive team, and that, from a cast standpoint, we only benefit from that. There's so many cool, like, strategy-based thing I remember back when we were blocking the show, which anyone who's done a show will know can be the most tedious process on planet Earth. But they would just be so fluid in the way that, like, Charlotte might be working with a large group of ensemble, and then Jacob would be with us kind of doing principal notes and things like that. And then they'd switch out and switch around. So no one had nothing to do, and it was so smooth, and there's been no... It's been absolutely, like, professional down to a T. I've been so impressed.
Yeah, I agree. I've worked with both of them, and it's been a blessing to be underneath their wings. They are actually a dynamic duo when it comes to directing. They give us the freedom to go as loud as we want, and they'll draw us back in if need be. And again, these two, they're the yin and yangs. They complement each other. And it's an exciting journey to see how our cast has come into fruition in regards to this this musical. And I know we're not finished yet, and I'm excited in Tech Week to keep going.
We also have an incredible rest of the creative team too.
Tell us about the rest of your team.
So Anya is our choreographer, and we've worked with her before, and she's just a genius when it comes to making the flow between blocking and choreography happen, because it's not a huge dance show, but she's just been able to make some really clever moments where she's just a genius. And then Emily and Logan are our two MDs, and their combined minds have created something so phenomenal, because we also have a choir as part of our cast, so that's another layer of people to work with, and we couldn't have done it without them. They're just incredible.
That's exciting. Sounds really cool.
It is really exciting. And yeah, Emily and Logan, both with their classical background and their music degrees and everything, it must help so much to get that beautiful, joyous, churchy, Gregorian chanty stuff.
Do you, know, when you're talking about your collaborative approach, do you at home sort of pre-map out all the blocking together, or do you take certain scenes and go, okay, this is my baby, that's yours? How does that work?
There's a lot of late nights at home when it came to the blocking as well. But it's very much a collaborative effort. Like, we would basically be sitting down at the dining table. Charlotte would be on a laptop, like, kind of like mapping everything out, and we'd all be sort of bouncing ideas off of each other, being like, oh, like, we could do this with that thing. Oh no, but this would sound really cool. Oh, that doesn't quite work. Let's kind of switch around a bit. It's very. Very fun.
Brilliant. Josh, I keep staring at your arms because you have all my favourite Muppet characters beautifully tattooed on your arm. And I mean beautifully. That is an impressive tattoo. That would have taken some pain. But can I say, all my favourite characters.
Yeah.
Isn't that impressive?
Sam's showing us his legs.
Sam, your legs are beautiful, but there's no where's the Muppets? You know, a little bit of
here somewhere.
Yeah. Kermit coming out of there would be great. Yeah, that must have taken some time.
Yeah, and it's still an ongoing work in progress that I'm chipping away at. I've still got a couple of little blank patches and things that need colour. And
I've got to ask, how, when you're on stage, because I mean, obviously, I've got both my arms as well all done. What does that mean for you as an actor when you go on stage? And also, I hope you don't mind me saying, because you've got spaces as well in your ears. I mean, what does that do? Do we have to glue your ears up for the night, or what happens?
I tell you that for this role in particular, it's my ears were a trickier workaround than the tattoos, because the costume covers pretty much everything you see, I think, bar the tattoo on my neck, and the amazing makeup people just do magic. And, you know, I've always been amazed at makeup artists on shows who have sat me in a chair and then done whatever they do and my tattoos are gone.
Yeah.
And I always get blown away by that. But they've been incredible with the costuming team for them for this. So it's a really amazing costume. And then because my hands are tattooed, they've hand-knitted me a pair of fingerless gloves. And so everything my ears, the easiest trick. We played around with a few things, and at home I took the earrings out and used Band-Aids to cover my earlobes, and You wouldn't notice. It's amazing.
The things we do.
All our spells, we'll just hang some bells in them.
So yeah, exactly.
I've got the benefit that Quasimodo is not meant to be a visually appealing guy. He's not conventionally handsome. So if I pop them out and I've got kind of calamari earlobes, it works for the guy.
love it. Now, I had the privilege last week, Emma, of hosting a memorial service at the Playhouse Theatre for the late Janet Clues, who was instrumental in Playhouse becoming the Playhouse many, many moons ago, and met some fabulous people from the past. But in this session, I learnt that your production manager, Kate, ended up with a rather nasty accident in hospital. We've had Kate and the family in here many times on Kick Art, so we're sending much love to her because I understand she's well and truly injured. Does that mean your workload's just quadrupled?
Well, first off, Kate is a phenomenal production manager.
She's lying in bed still doing it, let's face it.
She's still going. We wish her all the best, and it doesn't mean that she's stepped away fully because you couldn't keep her away even if you tried. It doesn't mean that our load has increased. Everybody has been wonderful and kind of rallied around her absence while she has been gone. So, just a big thank you to everybody who has stepped up.
It's that true nature of community theatre, though, eh? Mm. Yeah, we'll give her our best love. She's a special person, so I was sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, special. Emma's chosen a song, Heaven's Light. Do you want to tell us about that? Who someone tell us about Heaven's Light?
Yeah, this is one of Quasi's songs, and it happens in a point of the show where he has, for the first time in his life, maybe contemplated the idea that he has value. And up until this point, he's really, truly believed that he is destined for eternal damnation because he was born wrong. And at this point in the show, for the first time in his life, he's thinking, maybe I deserve nice things to happen to me. And so he's kind of daydreaming, and it's such a sweet, sweet little moment. Just with him and his own thoughts. And it goes from heartbreaking to lovely really, really quickly. It's such a sweet number.
All right, let's take a listen.
Tonight, my cold dark tower seems so bright. I swear it must be heaven's light.
Oh, Josh, that's an ending note to hold on to there. No pressure. Wow, that's a big finish.
That is one of the easier finishes of Quasi's numbers.
Yeah.
There is a number in Act 2 that is, the finish is a workout in and of itself. Right. That's all I'll say on that.
Okay. So what was your acting journey that sort of led up to this role? Tell us what kicked off your arts world.
It's been quite a unique journey. My background isn't in theatre or acting. I come from about 15 years now of playing in rock bands, and singing in bands and touring around Australasia, writing rock music. And then in 2019, I've always loved musical theatre, just as an appreciator. And 2019, I went, you know what, I'm going to have a go at a show. And I found a show randomly. It was A Christmas Story at the Waipuna Lodge with Sam. And I walked into an audition room and said, I'm here, I'll audition for the lead, thanks. And I got it.
Feels great.
And so I did that. And then in 2023, I was really lucky. I got to play Dewey Finn in School of Rock at Harlequin. And that was, I have like three dream roles of all time. The first being Dewey Finn, the second being Quasimodo, and the third being one I've not had the chance to play yet. And, you know, two out of the three shows I've been in have been like absolute dream come trues. And for a guy who's, this hasn't been my world, everyone's been so kind and so welcoming and so accepting and just embraced it, and that's just been amazing. It's been so cool, and this show in particular, everyone's just been so supportive, and it's a real step away from roles. The other two roles I've played have been comedy heavy, whereas this is not a comedy role at all, and it's taken my vocals to places I've never taken them before, and Emily and Logan have just pushed me to ends that I didn't know I could get to vocally, which has just been incredible. It's been such an amazing experience.
That's so cool. That's such a cool journey. Is there a role, Josh, that you are hoping next year the show will come out that you can play?
One day in the right circumstances, I would love to play the genie in Aladdin.
Okay, cool. All right, that'd be a fun one. All right, Sam.
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, how many people stop you and ask for, you know, building tips and tricks or supplies when you're out and about? Does that still happen?
Yeah, it has. For the past 3 years, it's been that's been my life.
Yeah, Mr. Mitre 10.
Being the face of Mitre 10. So.
Yeah, but that's fantastic. I mean, hey, Briscoes are still going. This could be you till retirement, mate. Yes,
who knows? As long as the bank account is full, I'm good with that.
Absolutely. So tell us your arts journey. When did that all begin?
It actually started late in the 90s, being professional and semi-professional. But in terms of the musical world, I came into the musical probably 6 years ago. First musical was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, you know, playing Pharaoh and then Benjamin, and then moved on with Playhouse. It's my return back to Playhouse. I was Tom Collins for Rent for Playhouse. I got to experience quite a few musicals from Harlequin, Papakura, North Shore, Auckland Musical. So with the vast six musicals that I've been involved in, this is just another journey in my life. I did take a break, and this is my first musical coming back, and why not? You know, Auckland's premier. Now I'm going to claim it as New Zealand's premier of The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Brilliant. You juggle that world between professionalism and community theatre, and is that, I guess, A, the nature of New Zealand and the size we are, that if you want to keep your craft going, you need to do both, but is it also that time where you can pick and choose and it's the show that drags you in perhaps rather than necessarily the job or not job? Where does it sort of sit for you?
It sits with, I treat every community musical theatre as a professional theatre in itself. What it does is that it just exercises your mind to be ready at all times, no matter what situation you've been put in. And so for my drive, I always treat Everything that we do in terms of our community as a professional, and we've got that high caliber. The cast is high, the directors, the creative team, everything. We're all professionals in our way. And to drive this, it's always good to see that, you know, from different walks of life, you two can maintain this and deliver a great story no matter what background you've come from.
Brilliant. What's it like for you as directors having such fabulous strong cast like this? Like, this must be a dream.
I think, like, for me, I think for us, this is probably one of the, like, greatest talents of cast that we've ever had the pleasure of working with. And, like, one of my favourite things about doing theatre and directing shows is being able to bring different levels of character out of actors. And both Josh and Sam just play these characters so beautifully, and we get to explore all the different depths of every love, like, each character, and it's so fun. It's, yeah, amazing.
Is there a show lined up next for the two of you, or is there the dream list that you should be putting out into the universe tonight?
Well, we actually considered last year taking a break, and then we ended up doing four shows. So next year we are hoping to take our honeymoon.
Okay, so six shows next year.
So
good.
Six,
yeah, yeah.
Shows next year. We will hopefully, we're taking a break to go on our honeymoon after 2 years. A dream show for me would be Jesus Christ Superstar. Would absolutely love to direct that or be in it. I think it's a beautiful show, and it's just had that performance with Cynthia Erivo in it. So a lot of interest around JC at the moment. So, yeah.
I tell you, the other one at the moment, Emma, on social media, is Chess back on Broadway. Man, the marketing for that has been exceptional.
It's incredible.
Like, right, I thought it was opening, but no, it was the opening of the billboard going up that it's going to open. It was like such clever marketing.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool. And a lot of these shows now just releasing that one, like, music video or track.
Mm-hmm.
Are you noticing that?
No,
you've
maybe
been too
I'm
busy.
Looking. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong things, or maybe we're on different for you pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not releasing the whole album.
No,
anymore.
But then you just get like this 40-second clip that hooks you into buying the tickets.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you click and find that it's actually just launching the billboard. It hasn't opened yet. Yeah. Sam, I didn't ask you, is there a dream role that would call you at any point? The phone would ring and you'd be like, yep, sorry, I'm in.
I'm in.
To work for Bunnings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now. I'd love to play Shrek. It's probably one of the character roles that's outside my zone, but, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Oh, that would be a fun trick.
Yeah.
How good's your Scottish?
Not good. The whiskey's great, but that's about it. It's as close as you're going to get to Scottish for me. Yeah.
Brilliant. What are you hoping audiences will say or take away from this one?
I think that the show is so important right now. I really hope that audiences take away that it's important to accept people for who they are, regardless of what they look like, their ability, their gender, where they're from. Acceptance, love, hope for a better future is a really important message in the show that I think I would like people to take away. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
there's a particular through line in the show that, like it said at the beginning, and like it's called it's what makes a monster and what makes a man, and like, well, we want to put that question into audiences' minds when they're watching the show, like, who actually is the monster and who actually is the man? Because it's not who you might think it is.
Did they steal that from the Muppets? You know, am I a Muppet or am I a man?
Possibly.
Well, isn't that kind of a similar thing?
Yeah.
Or maybe the Muppet stole it from...
If this was written, the original was written quite a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's where Muppets got that song from.
See,
I mean,
we're linking back to your arm again,
looking,
Josh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, are you a Muppet or are you a man? There you go.
Who do you think it will appeal to, though? Because what you'd like them to take away, it's not always who you'd appeal to.
I think it appeals to everybody. There's something for everyone in the show. There's love, there's villains, there is dancing, there's stunning music. We are very fortunate to work with Platform Interpreting for this, and we have a New Zealand Sign Language interpreted performance, so increasing accessibility to people in community theatre. So I think it appeals to a lot of people.
Go Playhouse Theatre.
Yeah, that's really cool. Josh, Sam, do you have anything lined up after the show? What's anything on the horizon that you can talk about?
There is something. There's two projects involved, but that's as far as it goes.
Okay. But good to have something like that.
Yeah, it's good to keep busy.
Yeah.
Good to keep busy.
And I do have my next community theatre project lined up, and it's going to be my first time on the other side of things.
Dang.
And that's all I can say about that at the moment, but it's really exciting.
Very cool.
Well, that was a question that went nowhere tonight. But they've all got exciting things that they're going to come back and talk to us about at some stage in the future.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Very, very cool. So, tell us now, the season throughout October?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, it's from the 11th of October until the 25th. And like we said before, there is a show that is sign language interpreted as well. And then we also have a number of alternate cast shows as well. But yes, buy your tickets.
Where can people get tickets from?
Event Finder.
And live orchestra?
Yes, a live orchestra, fabulously conducted by Logan, who I believe it's his first time conducting a show as well, which is very impressive. And we also do have a live choir on stage as well, made up of various different people all over Auckland, which is very exciting.
Is the orchestra in the pit or built into the set?
They are under the stage, so we have a tiny little hole in the stage where Logan's head is going to be, so he can see the band and also the stage, but the orchestra is hidden underneath the stage.
Nice. Brilliant. Well, we wish you every success with the season. Go well, and we'll look forward to having these two back when they've got some more stories to tell or when the tattoo's finished.
Yep.
Come and share the final colours. We'd love to see it, but yeah, all the best. Emma and I will definitely do our best to get out and see you and support you and look forward to seeing the season. Is this the last show for Playhouse for the year?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Because they've had another busy year.
Very busy year.
Very, very busy year.
Brilliant. Awesome. All right, head on to Event Finder. Get your tickets for The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Thanks, guys. All the best for your season.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Emma, we've talked at the start of the show about your week coming up. So you have two shows to put on over the next Friday and Saturday. Then is it straight into Junior Festival?
No,
I've got some costuming to do before that.
Yeah, so we've got the two shows this week, and then one of the schools I work in 2 days a week have got their show at the start of the second week of term, so I've got to finish all the costumes for Beauty and the Beast. And then we've got Junior Theatre Festival in New Zealand with the pilot program and the festival. And then I jump on the plane and go to the festival in Australia. And then I come home at the start of November and I breathe.
Breathe. This is the silly season for you.
Breathe.
Your silly season's well before Christmas.
Yeah. It'll be nice to not do anything at Christmas.
With the pilot program, do you know, or you already know what you're piloting?
We do know what we're piloting, and one of them's, we're not allowed to say one of them this year. It's a really big secret. Ooh. And so I actually haven't even gone out to the kids yet to tell them what they're doing. And I mean, obviously parents that come and watch the pilot will see it, and it's a pretty cool one. It involves, you know, pink and green, and that's enough said.
Brilliant. Love it. And how timely that would be. Awesome. All right. Well, you have a fabulous week. I want to close the show tonight by paying a special tribute to my fabulous cast and team of Jersey Boys, where I have lived for the last 4.5 months with this show. A very emotional end last night. What a fabulous bunch of performers and people behind the scenes just passionate about making theatre. A few things Josh said tonight resonated with me, and I just think it's a very special moment that you get every now and then. So a big thank you to the fabulous team of Jersey Boys. Have a fabulous week, everyone, and make sure you
kick some ass.
Who loves you? Who loves you? crazy pretty baby. Who's gonna love your mama? Who loves your pretty baby?
Fabulous Jersey Boys. Now, if you've got something coming up, make sure you email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We've got some time in our schedule in October. We would love to have you come on. Flick us that email and we can also get it up on our bulletins. Have a fabulous week, everyone. Good night.
Your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live same time under the stars, saying blah 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 blah. Let's go kick some R. Go kick some R. Go kick some R. Good night from Kick Arts.
This station is a